When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus series Extraordinary, created by Emma Moran and directed by Toby McDonald.
This episode, we're covering Season 1, Episode 1, Have-Nots. And Greg, I'm really excited to tell you that this show has already been picked up for a second season.
What? That's...
Yeah, I just read that today.
Yeah, I didn't... I had zero concept of that. That's fantastic. Like, I just... I mean, don't get me wrong. I've only watched the first episode, but This is like right in my wheelhouse of dick and fart jokes and humiliation. This is like the American Pie in Ireland. It's fantastic.
It reminds me a lot, the sense of humor reminds me a lot of that show Sex Ed that's on Netflix.
I only watched the first episode of that. That good?
It's really good. It's worth your time, yeah.
I mean, I saw that Gillian Anderson, I saw her in it. And I was like, yeah, man, I have some funny feelings inside of me.
She is a extremely sexy woman.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that show is really clever and warm and heartfelt, and I feel this show is the same. It's got this really amazing blend of like cringe comedy, right? Like the main character gets embarrassed all the time, but at the same time she's so sweet and her friendships are so sweet. I like that blend. It's really fun and lighthearted.
So I agree with you partially. I think just from my couple watches, I absolutely, I love the characters and I love the friendships. I do think that Jen has kind of fallen into kind of the circle of self-pity and kind of and maybe I, like, there was a little bit of back and forth and we'll talk about it later, but she just seems almost exactly what she says in that opening scene, which was amazing.
We'll get to that.
it's great to be podcasting with you again. We don't have She-Hulk anymore and I'm waiting on Wheel of Time to pop back up, and I'm really glad that that Steve Barr recommended that we check this out, because I'm super excited to talk about this. I have a feeling this is going to be very similar to my like Austin Powers and American Pie commentary with my friends, where I'm laughing as much during the talking about it as I am during the show itself.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's good to have the band back together. And it's funny, this show reminds me a little bit of She-Hulk, because it's this world where people have powers, but that doesn't solve all their human problems, right? Like, you know, most of the MCU are these larger than life characters, right? Like Captain America, Frozen in Ice, Super Soldier. But, you know, what I liked about She-Hulk was that she had like human level identifiable problems. Right. And this is like a whole world of She-Hulks.
Yeah,
and Extraordinary.
So, and this, you know, my inner nerd it throws me back to my teen years. There was an author back in I think he started writing in the 70s, called Piers Anthony. And he wrote...
Oh, of course!
Yeah, so Piers Anthony.
Yeah.
And he wrote the Xanth series. And in the land of Xanth, everybody has a magical power. And if they don't, it's not revealed by the time they're like 20 or 25, then they're kicked out of... They have to go to Mundania, which is like Earth. It's actually like Florida. But so...
I know. It's worse than Earth. It's Florida.
Right. It's Florida. And so Bink, the fantasy main character, he doesn't have a power, so he is exiled to Florida, but it's like, oh hey, I can change this color, this thing, from green to blue, and that's my power. And it seems like a lot of these characters have that. But anyway, we're kind of moving through a little bit. Anyway, yeah. that's what this reminded me of, except we're getting like actual like emotions, and if this was a thing. Also, just one more warning before I start dropping a whole bunch of curse words. This is an NSFW, not safe for work, show. There are lines like cum bucket and jizz lord, and hey, just that, not for kids, and I get to curse to my heart's delight, which I may or may not. I don't know. We'll see. I've been trying to be good because of the kids, but my kids, not y'all's kids. All right. So
yeah, who gives a crap about y'all's kids?
All right. So yeah, anyway.
Also, we're going to be going week to week, guys.
Oh, yeah.
The show dropped 10 episodes at once. I wish they didn't do, because I like going week to week and I want everyone else to have that experience too. But we are going to force ourselves to go week to week. So, you know, if you watch ahead, that's great. But try not to send in spoilers to us. You know, hold them until the week that we're covering that episode and then send them in. And that's it. We're so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'll tell your friends if this is something that you think that might appeal to them. Tell your friends, because I feel like this show is it was brought up a bit and it's got a ton of awesome critical reviews, but I just feel like I haven't heard about it from anybody except for like our small Zedhead group. All right, so moving in. So, summary of the episode. Lacking a superpower, Jen resolves to find it herself following a series of humiliating incidents. I think that's a pretty good summary.
Yeah. Jen does face quite a lot of humiliating incidents.
Yeah.
I feel for her.
I mean, so that's how I felt. And like, I made the comparison to American Pie. That's how I felt this opening scene was. This is like the equivalent of being caught jerking off in your room to, you know, by your dad. like the I'm forced. This is Liar Liar meets American Pie. Right. And.
Yeah.
You know, I was up way too late last night because I stink because I didn't take a shower because I was up way too late last night trying to make myself come. And like that entire opening scene was just, it was like George Carlin, when he would come on stage at a concert, he would basically try to offend as many people as possible in the first 3 minutes of his show. And
yeah. Get it out of the way.
Exactly.
So everybody knows what they're dealing with.
Yep. And I feel like it set the bar really, really high. And it made me hysterically laugh a couple of times, even on rewatch.
Yeah. The tampon line was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
And the best moment when the woman was like, "Do you have any questions for me?"
Where or she's
I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah, she's trying. She's trying to hold. You can see her trying to hold it back.
And then she's like, "Do you have a gross eye hole under there?"
And I was like,
"Negan." Yeah.
I'm going to badly impersonate Irish accents, and it's
That's coming.
Especially because the way that they say some things. They're slightly different or whatever the case is, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to minimize it because, but just the delivery of some of the lines are great.
Yeah. They all have really wonderful timing. And yeah, my overall impression of the show, obviously, is very positive. And I am excited to be talking about it on a podcast. It also makes a really nice counterbalance to some of the really, really dark stuff that I usually watch. It's really nice to have something funny and new
that,
and fresh.
Yeah, it's very, very similar to She-Hulk in that it was a bit, it was a bit lighter and, you know, also very self-aware. I mean, maybe too self-aware, actually. But, all right. So, you want to go ahead and, I missed our first new section, Humiliation of the Week. What do you got, Penny?
Yeah. So I thought a lot about what was the most humiliating moment on the show, and that was too hard to choose. So then I thought about the moment that felt the most like something that would happen, would have happened to me when I was 25. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely the dude rolling over in bed after sex and saying, "Nice one, mate." Oh, my God.
Oh. Well, and what's bad about it is that she knew it was coming. She, like... And then he, like, Lee flies out, and she's like,
he literally
every
flies
time.
Away while she's on the toilet.
Yeah, that was, that was so hard to watch. And you're like, she's going to get sucker punched here. Like, and like, but you know, you're right. Like, the setup where he, like, takes her face in his hand and then just rolls over and grabs his phone. Nice one, mate. And oh, that was a rough one. Yeah. I would say, yeah, like for me, the worst humiliation was getting dumped by said guy, literally dumped on the street. Like by RuPaul. Yeah. If you can't love yourself, how are you going to love anybody else? And her recognition of that's RuPaul.
And he's gone. And you can hear Olivia giggling.
Yeah. And like, it was like, and I hope that Olivia was just like giggling at him, not at her situation. But like, that was like the most, just like the downest in the dumps that I would have felt. I mean, like, you kind of had an understanding of why some of the other things happen. Like, your sister gets her power and, you know, okay, that's embarrassing. But I've got an excuse for saying all of this crazy shit during my my interview because it's this woman's ability to force me to do so. But this one, you're just like, oh, hey, I'm just explaining to you how much I care about you, and it's my yogurt, and I put my label on it because I want to eat it, and it has the taste the best, and it has the most beautiful eyes. You have to let go. I don't want to ever let you go. No, we're on the ground. You have to let go. And then, oh, okay. All right, see you later. Bye. And I was like, what? Oh, my God. Like, this is... So this was like the part where I was like, oh God, all of me is just cringing.
Yeah. Poor girl.
Oh, yeah.
God, my 20s were a lot. I really identified with Jen. I was so much like her in my early 20s. I was always late everywhere I went. I was, you know, running. I was always like trying to keep up with my own self, you know, and I was broke as hell, and my life revolved around my friendships, and I had great friends, bad roommates, but great friends. And I was always like, there was just a lot going on, but like none of it was really great. But because I was young and finding out about the world, it was fun enough, I guess. I kept going with it.
Yeah, I made it out of my 20s. So, you know, like that's a plus, I guess. I'm glad you made it out of your 20s because... we are doing this, and I'm having a blast.
Yes, and it's fun.
It is absolutely a grand time.
Yeah, poor Jen. All right,
so do you mind if I go first?
No, go for it.
For my first point? All right, so I want to talk about the world building here. And, you know, hey, we're getting introduced to all these characters. And so obviously Jen, our main character who has no power, Her roommate and apparently best friend Carrie, who has the power to channel the dead. Cash, Carrie's boyfriend, who has the power to rewind time for a certain period of time. We don't know how far. It can't be more than like a couple hours because he couldn't go back and make her on time. We got Luke, who I don't know that we'll see again, but he has the power of flight. Olivia, who was a shape changer, who never uses it. Just this is just the way that she looks all the time. Oh, that's fortunate. We have Jamie. Was it Jamie? No, her sister.
Andy,
thank you. Who is super strong. Her mom, who has the power to control technology, but not the understanding. her stepfather, who can feel people's emotions. And then Angela. And I think we're going to see Angela again, being her boss, who is a 56-year-old trapped in a 12-year-old's body. Who that actress did amazing. Like she her delivery was amazing. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
It was totally believable by the end of the scene that she was 56.
Yeah.
Even though that could not be a more like fresh-faced young Muppet.
Right? Like right.
It was so believable.
Yeah, but I thought that they did a really great job of like building out all of Jen's life and putting her in a bunch of different situations. You know, she's got a job, not a real job, but a job. And so she got a job. Oh, and I believe that her dad is voiced by Brendan Gleeson. I don't Mad-Eye Moody from the Harry Potter movies. Also a bunch of other things.
I thought the voice sounded familiar, but I couldn't place it.
I didn't look it up. I probably should. But like I was like, oh man, that sounds like Brendan Gleeson. Like, you know, she has a hard time and she talks to her dad. And I'm, you know, obviously up until the end, I assumed that her dad was divorced from her mom. So I thought the world building here was fantastic. I mean, I'm assuming they're somewhere in Ireland and her mom is English, who, you know, they made all the sacrifices.
No, they're in London.
Are they in London?
They're in London, and her mom and she they're Irish. So her mother was talking about immigrating from Ireland to England.
Okay, I totally missed that. Like, yeah. I cannot identify one accent from another. so, like, I mean, I can, but I can't. Okay, I'm listening to Jen all the time, and I'm like, I feel like she's either Irish or maybe Scottish, and Derek is going to just be very frustrated with me that I can't tell the difference, but
it's okay.
Yeah, it's
I cheated a little bit because I read a news article interviewing the creator and she said, well, it's set in London, so that helped me fill in the blanks.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. That I mean, I didn't recognize any particular like landmarks or anything like that, so I mean, stupid American over here.
Well,
trying to figure that stuff out.
She's not meant to be living in the swanky, nice part of London, right? She lives in East London, which is sort of more working class. You know, she lives in a crappy walk-up apartment where apparently they have sheets hanging from the ceiling to give privacy for one of the bedrooms. sort of a classic 20-something, like you take a one-bedroom and turn it into a three-bedroom with, like, room dividers. Mm-hmm. I've definitely lived in an apartment like that where I was sleeping in half the living room.
Fortunately, I have not. Yeah. I had other experiences.
Well, you had to live in like soldier barracks, so.
That's true. I mean,
you've had your own issues.
Yeah, I've had my own issues, sleeping issues, but yeah. So that was kind of my thing is the world building.
I'd like to build on that because I loved the production design of the show and the use of color. Everybody's wardrobes were really colorful and interesting. There was lots of use of pattern and pattern mixing. The costume designer is named Buki Ebiasua. Ebiasua. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. In fact, I'm sure I'm not. And I've never heard of her before, but I really enjoyed the costumes, especially in the final scene. Jen is wearing this jacket with this like faux fur leopard print collar. She right. thought it was absolutely fabulous. You and I also chatted about this a little bit, that they're not overly made up and glammed up. All the actors, even the ones that are really good looking, look like real people. You know, they're not like perfectly made up or anything like that. The makeup designer is Holly Edwards, and I really like that choice. And so
chime in on that. So Jen's makeup looks like a 20-something put it on.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't look perfect. It doesn't look like the whole goal of makeup is that I have gleaned in my several years as an adult, is to make it look like you're not wearing makeup. And you can absolutely tell that she is wearing makeup. Now, if you were to look at Olivia, she doesn't look like she's wearing makeup. She probably is, but it's well blended. And she was like the one person who looked kind of, you know, glamorous. But you're right. Everybody else is kind of like, just kind of drab's not the right word, but just not
normal.
Made up. Normal. Exactly.
Yeah. They look like people.
Yep.
The overall production designer is Melanie Allen, and the music was put together by somebody named Will Gregory. These names are all new to me. All the actors are new to me. I love this. It's like a completely fresh universe of talent that I'm enjoying. I looked up all the songs that were used in the episode, and I've already started like adding them to my playlists at home.
Nice.
But I wanted to call particular attention to two of them. Bikini by Carolyn Rose. That's playing when Luke flies away from her. The video on YouTube is very much worth your time. It's hilarious. This Is My Film by Willow Cain. That was playing when she was with the orgasm guy in the morning. And the lyric is, "This is my film, you're an extra," that gets repeated over and over again. And I was like, oh, maybe this can become my new like Penny theme song. And then I listened to the full song and it's like, it's a little too much fucker and motherfucker even for me, so it's not going to be my new theme song, but it is on my playlist and I will be singing it in my car.
Yeah, so I was the same. I also googled a bunch of the songs that I heard. Other ones that I heard were History Eraser by Courtney Barnett, I think it's Barnett, Remove Your Mask by Wolfmother, All the Way Live.
Oh, that was a good one too. Yeah,
All the Way Live by the Go Team, and then the Screamin' Jay Hawkins, I Put a Spell on You. That was the last one. And then I just got too engrossed in the world and I stopped listening to the music and I was paying too much attention to the show.
I have a feeling we're going to find a lot of music we like for the rest of the season. It's definitely part of the vibe that they're making with the show, the like poppy colors and patterns and the quick-witted dialogue and the like upbeat, offbeat music. It's a whole package that I'm eating it up.
Yeah, it's like everything about it, I think it really gels well together, and I completely agree with you. And hopefully we are going to be fanboy and fangirling this out the whole time because it's going to be so awesome. And if you're looking for someone who doesn't enjoy it, I recommend that you find a different podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Okay. So I'm tempted to go through and I'll do that on my third point. I can't just pick one because I don't want to not talk about, at least discuss a little bit or bring up several of the scenes in here. I'm not going to do like a scene by scene play by play, but I want to at least acknowledge them because so many of them were brilliant. Obviously we've talked about the opening, which was amazing. And you talked about the post hookup scene. the divorce proceeding. I was laughing so hard during that. It lasted, you know, maybe 40 seconds. And like, oh, can you, I can't even get a moment's peace. What the fuck do you, you grew a mustache. I remember you from the divorce. You grew a mustache. I didn't know you could look like more of a nonce. I mean, like, I was like, and like, I get it. They got a different voice actor for it. And that seems, that was a little bit jarring, but like the eye color change and the complete and utter just changing of her, almost of her physiology.
Her body language completely changes.
Yeah, her body language. Thank you.
And she slouches, and then her neck, she sort of like falls into her neck. And then at one point she winks at the younger woman.
Yeah.
Like, everything's going to Tanya. It's just like really obvious wink.
It was so funny. I mean, I was laughing very hard during that.
It told us a lot about Carrie in just a few short seconds. Like, you can understand why her job like really rips her apart.
Yes. I'm so sorry for your loss. Although I did think that her channeling Hitler, my girlfriend's white and I'm inside of her at least twice a month.
Jews generally doing well, mate. Like, just, it's so funny that Carrie's like, oh, I'm gonna cheer you up, I know exactly what'll do it, and then Hitler's like, you again.
it reminded me of the little Nicky scene where they're like, all right, Hitler, it's time for the pineapple up your butthole. And
I haven't seen that movie.
Oh, it's he's in hell and it's, oh hey, it's time for your torture, and pineapple up the butthole. And then, you know, the whole super cock thing was really, really entertaining.
I wonder how many times, like, she's been about to take a picture of that guy doing something embarrassing and he's rewound it.
Yeah.
Like, does that happen every day?
It did seem very practiced. Like, oh, does that say super cock? No, it's super clock. It's ironic. It's a costume.
I can see every inch of your genitals.
Don't post that. The khakis were ruined. I was laughing so hard at this because I'm picturing like a rugby match, like in Wedding Crashers, and oh man, like, and I mean, I get it. It's not football or soccer or whatever you want to call it, but oh my god, I was. I would not have been able to keep as straight a face as Jen. And come on, Jen, just touch his fucking face. Get yourself off. Why are you holding back here? This guy isn't fucking worth it. Just go grab his face or his hand or whatever and do it for yourself, girl.
Yeah, I don't think I would have been as hesitant as she was.
Well, I mean, the cat was so funny. The cat.
And they didn't have to show it. The noise that it made was enough. And the scene where the cat was like inching towards the guy and she's inching towards the guy.
Like the cat puts his paw and she's like, don't you touch him. Don't you touch him. That was so funny.
And little did we know that cat probably could completely understand what she was saying.
Right. And like, and... So we can talk about Jizz Lord here a little bit. Yeah, the fact that Carrie wanted to call him Cum Bucket.
And she thought that was nicer.
That was nicer than Jizz Lord. It is not nicer. Kids, if you're listening, stop listening. But Cum Bucket is not better than Jizz Lord.
No, it's a really mean thing to call someone.
Yeah, absolutely. At Andy's party, just like the whole thing was very kind of like... bickering family, but the line of you're like a virgin talking about sex, you know, oh mom, tell her I fuck. I totally fuck. Mom, tell her I fuck. I just basically just like I picture John Oliver delivering that, and it was very, very funny.
I thought her stepfather or mother's boyfriend or whatever was way out of line, being like, oh, you're sad and jealous and horny. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah. Like basically, that guy's kind of a douche. I mean,
yeah.
And then.
And that... so is the honesty job interview lady. Like, yeah. You should warn people. That's an invasion. That's,
it does. It, that does really does feel like invasion. Oh, the truth will set you free. Oh, if only that was the case. Why do you want this job? I don't, but I need money to live. So, all right. So those are all of my kind of like high points. I know I just kind of like went over the whole episode, but there were so many parts in this that I don't want to miss talking about and laughing about because I really, honest to God, laughed so hard.
Well, we are once again on a very similar train of thought because I have a point about sort of cringe humor and a list of crappy things that happened to Jen. I am not a fan of the show Curb Your Enthusiasm. Lots of people I know really love it and they are always trying to get me to watch it. And I was like, I think I just don't like cringe humor. But then I realized I don't like that it's like a wealthy, older white man who does really dumb stuff he should know better than to do and has no consequences. Whereas cringe humor about a young woman trying to figure out life is very relatable and hilarious to me.
Right.
And I realized I like Shrill. I like Bridget Jones's Diary. I like Starstruck. There's a whole bunch of shows that are in this genre of like young woman trying to figure things out and she constantly puts her foot in her mouth. And I actually really enjoy them. So it's not that I don't love cringe humor. I just don't like Larry David that much.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you just don't like Larry David.
Yeah. The only times I've enjoyed that show are when there's lots of Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen on it, because I really enjoy them.
So I've never actually watched an episode of that. I know that Jason really, one of his favorite shows, or I guess Seinfeld, who was based kind of sort of on Larry David.
Yeah, George Costanza is a Larry David surrogate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I've never watched it. I've thought about watching it, and then I realized that there are a ton of other awesome shows out there, and then I find new ones like this, which is probably one of my new favorites.
You don't need to watch it. It has a lot of cleverness to it, but I just, it's not for me. Anyway, so the crappy things that happened to Jen. First was the honesty interview. Then the powered guy thoughtlessly diverts a splash so that it fully hits her in the face. Jerk. We've already talked about Luke and the nice one mate and the flying away. The orgasm guy date. I mean, he was just... I feel bad for the guy. Like, it probably really sucks to have that power. But he was also really boring and, like, weird. I'm glad they're not going to keep going out, but he was really funny. The saran wrap kiss. Oh, my God. Can you imagine kissing someone through saran wrap?
There was just so, like, I can totally appreciate, like you said, that's got to suck. Mm. Like, that has got to suck. Like, you're only being used for your power, and very similar to Carrie. But, you know.
Who might as well be an appliance.
Yeah. I mean, that's her job. That's what she's being paid for, and Cash can love her for who she is. And she can have relationships. But, I mean, like, this guy, like, I feel bad for him. But, man, he was a douche. I get the idea of, hey, it's important to me that I can do it myself. But the honest feedback. But the honest feedback is also important there. And at the end of the night, you go, hey, honey. Boop. And you help her out at the end of the night. Like, regardless of if she's like... Oh, that was it. Oh, good. You're welcome.
I can't believe he believed that was a real orgasm. That was so obviously fake.
Yeah, I mean, just, it was, especially if he, you know, if he, like, CPR'd his dad, and, like, there's no way that was all that was there.
Yeah, but, he's seen real ones, so, yeah. So then she's late to the crappy job. She has to wear a Disney princess dress to work, which is embarrassing. And then the cab driver. Oh, my God. Do you
want to
know how you died? No. Like, no. And then he's like, bears. Like, fuck you. Don't tell me that. And the look on her face. She's like, bears.
He drives off.
What a jerk.
Fucking bears.
Oh, my God. The horrible family birthday party. She just bails, which I really respected. Luke's date, walking in, meeting Olivia, who's all like, oh, I don't even wear makeup. I'm just perfect. And then when Luke said load-bearing to her, oh, my God.
That was so bad.
What a mean way to... Oh, he's just a jerk.
Yeah.
It really reminded me a lot of Bridget Jones when she...
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for a 20-year-old movie. When she breaks in on him with this other woman and the woman goes, I thought you told me she was thin. It's like so mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that was kind of the end of the humiliation, because then it got into the like real sweetness of her conversation with her father on the phone.
Yeah.
I was really pulled into that. And then when it's revealed that it's really Carrie, I actually cried. And I was like, I can't believe this show made me laugh and cry in 30 minutes.
I as she was walking home, I started to have a glimmer that it might have been that. I'm not saying that like, oh, I knew it the whole time or anything like that. But like, I was like, I feel like there's something coming that there's an event getting ready to occur that's going to be like mind blowing. And I felt like there was a build up there. And let me just say, I love her dad. Like, I think her dad is an awesome father figure. And, you know, it was very emotional. Like, I talked about this being lighthearted and whatnot, but it was actually really emotional those last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
But before Jizzlord turned into a guy and changed back. So it was very like very emotional, and I was just like, man, like that is so hard. And the look on Carrie's face that she was literally just her dad, and I was just like, she's looking at her. Carrie's looking at Jen like I look at my daughter. And
yeah.
And I was so blown away. I was like, that's not Carrie. That's her dad. And that's just, I now have chills thinking about how powerful that was.
Yeah. The actor who plays Carrie, let me look up her name.
Is that Sophia something?
Yeah. Like Oxenham or something like that.
Yeah. We are going to butcher the names.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's a lot of names that are new to me. I'll let my computer catch up with me. There we go. Carrie Sophia Oxenham. Yeah. I looked at a lot of the actors' IMDb pages, and like most of them, this is like their second or first credit. It's an incredibly new group of actors and writers. And I'm excited. It's like all these new people to, you know, watch their careers unfold. They're all really talented and funny.
Yeah, Jen's played by, I believe it's pronounced Mairead Tyres.
I think that's how it's pronounced too. But if anybody Irish wants to call in with a voicemail with a correct pronunciation, go for it.
Yeah, I had to ask Jim and Derek, and Gemma sent a pretty good Mairead or something like that, and I was like, oh, that's how it would be in Welsh, but... anyway, so I think it's Mairead, like Mairead, like almost like Maureen, but Mairead.
I think so too.
Tyres, and then I don't know how to say it. It's Siobhan.
Siobhan.
Siobhan. Is that how you say it? Like, yeah, I knew that it sounded something completely different. It was like Siobhan or something like that. Siobhan.
Siobhan.
Siobhan. Okay.
Yeah, I had to learn that when I started living in Boston, the land of Irish people.
I saw the list of names and whatnot, but I agree with you. Like I was very impressed with Carrie's performance. I was very impressed with Sophia's performance, very impressed with Mairead's. That's pretty much like Cash. The vigilante scene was pretty funny. This is my origin story. Take a picture. Oh, I have to. So that was. Sorry, I'll finish it off and I'll add to it.
I was about to say Carrie has some of the best lines too, because she in that scene she says to Cash, "Is this destiny salaried?"
Yeah, that was so good. Is this destiny salaried?
And he's like off and running with the, you know, yet another crazy idea. And then he's like, so much mood boarding to do. Oh my God.
And then she said, I'll get the Pritt sticks. And I was like, what are Pritt sticks? They're glue sticks. So he's literally going to be putting together a mood board.
Yeah. About his new vigilante destiny.
Yeah.
Oh, adorable, but I'm glad he's not my roommate or boyfriend.
What else you got?
So I want to talk about the line that Luke says to her, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anyone else? And it's right after Olivia has said, I think it's important to love yourself the way you are. You know, flaws, imperfections, and everything, right? Olivia, who apparently has no flaws or imperfections. it reminds me of something that I heard like all my whole childhood and in my youth, right? You have to love yourself first before anyone else will love you. And it always felt like something that somebody says to you to blame you for being lonely, and it only makes you feel worse. Right? Like, it's like, oh, well, if you can't find love, it's because you're not loving yourself enough. And also, I don't think it's true that you have to love yourself in order to love other people. I think loving other people and receiving love from other people can happen regardless of how you feel about yourself. I mean, the world of being a person with depression is that you have a lot of times where you don't like yourself at all. And it's right. Your brain playing a trick on you. But that doesn't mean that people can't love you and that you don't love other people. I don't like that whole line of thought.
I totally get where you're coming from. And that idea, and this is by no means a psychiatric podcast, or I am only just an experienced person in the life, in my life, right? So I think that is if you are trying to be a runway model, and that is an appropriate thing for RuPaul to say to someone.
Yeah.
If you are being a person who just wants to be loved, I think that is completely and utterly wrong. I think that it's the other way around, that if you don't love yourself, you have a hard time accepting that someone else could love you.
That is true.
And that's where I, like, it's not what he said, but that's what I thought of when he said that. It's a matter of how could I possibly believe that someone's going to love me as shitty as I am? And I felt that way before. And I felt, man, I am insanely lucky that I have someone that loves me, even though I'm a fat slob that, you know, does whatever. Like, I can appreciate that viewpoint, and I can appreciate that, but I agree with you, like, that does, I never thought about it from a way of like, oh, we're just looking to blame yourself. No, I think that's different, because, like, for example, like my ex-wife and I, you know, I loved her. She was overweight and I loved her, and it, you know, but she had a hard time accepting that. She had a hard time, you know, accepting my care and whatnot. And maybe it was because I'm a relatively self-centered person, with meaning not that I mean, maybe that's bad, but, more that, like, I think about myself first and how things affect me, as I think is normal. Maybe that's not. But
that's very normal.
But so, like, yeah, my point being is that, like, I'm the first person who would give someone the shirt off my back, but I wouldn't think to myself, oh, hey, you need a shirt, if you didn't tell me, hey, I need a shirt. I'd be like, oh, you're making a personal choice to not wear a shirt. Okay. Oh, you need help? Oh, by all means, here, let me help you. But I'm not going to pick it up right off the bat. Anyway, not trying to make this about me, but I'm just saying that, like, I get where an aspect of that is, but that was a really super shitty thing to say.
Yeah. And it hurts to hear it when you are trying to have a relationship with the person who says it to you. Like,
that's even harder. Yeah.
It was dismissive and cruel. I don't think Olivia is a bad person as she's depicted. I think she's one of those people that has always been pretty and always been loved, and she's insecure, and so she does see the world that way, and she does think other people are beautiful too. Like she doesn't realize how much prettier than other people she is. Yeah, so she doesn't know how it sounds.
She really seemed like a decent person.
Yeah.
And like in the short period of time that we had to deal with her, or to, sorry, that we were exposed to her. Yeah, she really did.
I mean, Luke was fully going to be a jerk to her too, right? She was like, yeah, it's a date. And he's like, oh, you know, label things. Like he's a, what we call a fuckboy. And he will be probably until he's about 33. And that's when those types of guys usually decide to settle down. But he's just going to go through women because he can. And apparently he lives in like a fabulous like apartment building with a roof deck or something. Like, is it? It's unfair that he's good looking, has a cool power, and is also apparently has money. Like, yeah. It just seems like he's been too lucky in life.
Maybe he's part of the Uberfly.
Oh yeah,
that we saw the people that maybe that's his job, right? Although if he has to worry about load bearing, he might have to be selective on his Uber pickups.
Yeah, I noticed they have like a sort of bicycle seat backpack thing they had going on.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
people could climb on. And it's like a piggyback or something. There's definitely been times in my life when I would have taken a flying Uber. I bet it's pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. Although, until you get up there and like, you know, can you imagine the insurance you'd have to have? All right, yeah, sorry. Seriously. I'm injecting real world, you know, possibilities into this fantasy world, but
yeah.
All right. So I'm just going to, my last point's very, very short. I'm just going to cover all of the powers that we saw. And I, or at least maybe you can point out some that I missed. So levitation, like the guy was holding his phone without holding, he had basically a third arm holding his phone, talking on FaceTime, walking down the street, flying, pyrokinesis, the guy lighting a cigarette, telekinesis.
Oh, yeah, that was a good guy, moment.
Yeah, it was good. Although it was a giant flame for a cigarette, but
yeah.
Telekinesis, where the guy splashed the water on Jen, channeling the dead, in Carrie. You can rewind time and cash, invisibility. Oh yeah. The
invisible mugger scene.
is he naked under there? Like, is he able to turn his clothes naked? Is he like,
yeah, translucent? I kind of hope that guy comes back. Yeah.
Is he like translucent in The Boys? Orgasm hands or, you know, touch. I'm assuming that Jen's coworker had helium breath. Like he was just, like he breathed helium, which is why he was able to blow up all the balloons, just blow them up and then they floated.
Oh.
And he was talking in the high voice.
Yeah. I thought he was sucking in helium. I didn't catch that he was blowing up the balloons, but now that you mention it, I think that is what was going on.
So
there.
I thought in my first watch, I was like, oh, he's just breathing in balloons. But I was like, wait a minute, he's blowing up the balloons. I really don't understand.
Yeah.
Young appearance in Angela, foresight in the cab driver, technology control in Jen's mom, emotional detection in her stepdad, super strength in Andy, shape-shifting in Olivia, and apparently Jizzlord. And then at the very end, she's walking by a guy who is smoking and blowing the smoke out of the top of his head.
Oh, is that what? Oh, that's funny.
That's what I thought was happening.
What a dumb power.
Yeah, like that was almost exactly the one that made me go, oh, that's like that one where like you just have a random power. Because in that land of Xanth, back from like the first 5 minutes we were talking, nobody ever had the same power. So here, people have the same power. People have power of flight. You know, different people have, you know, I imagine that if there's a guy who can make you orgasm by touching you, there's a person who makes you shit by touching you.
That's even worse of a power.
Right? There, you wear the gloves all the time, for God's sake.
It's like Rogue in X-Men, right? Like, she can't touch anybody because she kills them.
Yeah, so those were all of the powers. I don't know if you caught any others. I had a little list that I was writing down as I saw them on the second watch.
In one of the interviews I was reading, the Emma Moran, who's the show creator, said that the writer's room had like a running list of power ideas and that that people have been sending her ideas. And sometimes when she's like at like press events and stuff, like people will yell ideas at her for powers.
That's awesome.
And she's like, if it's a good idea, I'll steal it. So I think it's a really funny idea. I've always wondered why, like, in sort of the mutant universe and the X-Men universe, like, everybody has a power that's, like, useful for fighting. They never meet people who have a dumb power that does something stupid. And so, like, I'm glad we're finally seeing it.
We kind of saw that in, like, X3, where we had, like, Pufferfish lady who had, like, all the spikes. No, that wasn't the... she wasn't a lady. She was... It was the guy who had, like, all the spikes in his head. I mean, I guess that's good for fighting, but, I mean, that was just a mutation.
Pufferfish have toxins, too, so maybe.
Yeah, so he might have had those, too. But, I mean, like, but I see, you know, I agree with you. This is kind of like, again, back to that, hey, there are never any new ideas, but this is a well-presented one.
It's really clever.
Yeah, I really like it. All right.
I have one more point.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I wasn't trying to, like, overlap you.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to talk about the Discovery Center, where she goes at the end to try to, you know,
Oh, my God. I totally didn't write that down.
Yeah, and what it made me think about in our culture, it's sort of a metaphor for lots of different things. Like, it's a metaphor for wanting to be, like, unattainably beautiful, and how expensive plastic surgery and, you know, special skin treatments and all those things can be. It's a metaphor for fertility, right? Like, there are people who desperately want to have children and they can't, and they feel like, you know, the rest of the world can have children, but I can't, and I'm, like, biologically backward.
And it cost me a ton of fucking money.
Yeah,
in order
so
to
much
do
money.
This thing that is, like, $9,500? Like, I've done IVF and it's fucking expensive as fuck. I mean,
yeah.
And, like, that's, you know, that's with insurance. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it's something that other people can just do for free, right? Like, make a baby.
Yeah.
But, you know, you needed to spend a lot of money. And also just, like, the desire for fame. Like, in that world, everybody has a power and she just wants to fit in, but the powers are kind of shallow and people are using them for shallow reasons. And, like, it's like being an Instagram influencer. Like, it's kind of empty. It's an empty thing that she's seeking, but it's expensive and she just wants to fit in. I understand her thinking, but yeah, 9,500 pounds is a lot of money.
Yeah.
A
like,
lot of money.
Well, so what, I don't remember what his name is, but the stepfather, mentioned,
I think his name's Ian.
Ian, you're right. So what Ian mentioned was his brother went to one of these discovery centers and it was just the knowledge, you know, Oh, you can freeze anything like that. I mean, he still uses a refrigerator and a freezer, but, you know, he the knowledge of knowing that he has a power that he could use. So he's Iceman.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he still uses a refrigerator, which is a little bit funny.
It's empty.
But knowing that you could is, you know, is I can appreciate that idea. Although spending 10,000 pounds in order to do that is fucking bonkers.
I mean, she may not have a power at all. It's funny. I was describing this show to someone before I had started watching it. I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this show. And I told her about it. And she was like, oh, it's like Encanto. Have you seen? You have little kids.
Oh, my God. Have I seen Encanto like 1,000 fucking times in the past 3 months? Sorry.
But yeah, it's like Mirabelle who doesn't have a power in Encanto. And she learns to cope with that.
That is funny that I didn't even think about that, but that's exactly the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, very similar premise, but completely different execution.
Yeah. Come bucket. That's all I got to say.
I think Jizz Lord is a better name for the cat, and they can call him JL. I want to point out that that cat was not skin and bones and did not look like a stray. That was a well-fed cat. but it was funny that she was like looking around like she was gonna get in trouble, and then she's like, free cat.
All right, free cat.
And that's all my points. I just have really a couple notes.
Honestly, like, I've blown through all my notes. I've blown my load, to put it lightly. And and so you go ahead.
It didn't seem like the guy cat was 100% in control of his transformations.
I agree. He was like, oh my God, what's going on? Shit.
And then he was sort
again.
Of like, no. And then, yeah. Otherwise, it would be, I mean, it's still incredibly creepy that he's like moved into a woman's bedroom as a cat, but maybe he can't control it. We don't know yet, like, how much of him is human when he's as a cat. So I'm going to withhold judgment for now on the creepiness.
That was a great tag that just made you have more questions.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I got to watch episode two. I really enjoyed that in the credits, there was a credit for human cat and then it said cat.
I didn't notice that. That was me being too busy hitting back to not move to the next
autoplay the next episode. Yeah. And I thought it was funny that we had two different fake orgasms in the episode, one from Jen and one from Cash when he lied to her about masturbating because he didn't want her to see his costume.
So funny.
And she's like, do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah, go ahead. That was a very British thing to say.
Yeah. Very lovable on both their parts. And yeah, hilarious, like everything else.
Any other notes?
I'm all done.
If I didn't say it beforehand, I really dug this episode and this show in general. And I think that we are going to be talking about this outside of the next 10 weeks. I think a lot of these stars are up and comers. And
I think so too. I think they're all really
great,
young.
They do great things.
Yeah, they're all really young and at the beginnings of their careers. I think we're going to see some really great stuff from them.
Absolutely.
Emma Moran is a new voice too, and I can't wait to see what she's going to do in the future.
Yes. Sorry.
We'll learn more about that in the news section.
All right. So stick with us, and we will bring it right back.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Welcome back, and we are now into our extraordinary news. Penny, can you take it from here?
So, Googling the show and getting information and news was kind of difficult because they dropped 10 episodes at once, and a lot of the articles had spoilers. So, I only included one in our news segment today because I didn't want to spoil us or the viewers or listeners, if you guys are trying to go week to week with us. I did find this great article in stylist.co.uk, and it's an interview with Emma Moran by Amy Swales. Excuse me. And these are just some excerpts. If you want to read the whole article, it's a really long one, so I just pulled a few parts out. In spring 2020, Emma Moran was working on her MA in screenwriting and spending the COVID lockdown, as many of us were, back in her childhood bedroom, worrying about work, seeing very few people. But then she got a call. The script she'd won a competition with less than a year previously was getting picked up by Disney+. And now here we are, chatting in a very nice London hotel, while the young cast of Moran's show, Extraordinary, holds court next door, speaking to interviewers from across the world. Moran won the inaugural 1,000 Films scriptwriting competition with her sitcom Extraordinary, inventing a world where everyone develops a superpower when they turn 18. Everyone except Jen, Mairead Tyers, there's a picture of her, who struggles to find her feet while also having to deal with dates who can literally fly out of the bedroom window during the awkward morning after chat. Produced by Sid Gentle Films, the production company behind Killing Eve, it's smart, funny, and very different to the superhero fare we're accustomed to. Despite our distinct lack of magical powers in this world, Extraordinary really does feel something close to how everyone having a hero-esque gift might play out in reality. Shitty people will still be shitty, even if they can fly. Perhaps they're even shittier. Your mom still can't work the TV, despite being able to control technology with her mind. The dead can literally speak through your flatmate, who works in insurance, resolving clashes over wills. I think it's law, not insurance, but anyway. Yeah, like, I can fly, but rent still needs to be paid, Moran agrees. That was really important, to keep the economic reality of it, keeping our world recognizable.
So, is it strange to think back now, to think when you started writing it? Like, does it all look how you thought it would look?
I think better. Having Sid Gentle and Disney on board gave it a scale I didn't think was possible. I'm quite used to British sitcoms. I love them, but they tend to be slightly less glossy, I suppose. I think we've done a really good job of getting that superhero look to everything, in contrast with the griminess of the flat and Jen and her friends.
I mean, it still feels very British, like not too glossy.
Yeah, it just sort of makes London look nice, which can be a feat, to be honest, sometimes. It's still very London, very East London, but has that nice energy and feel.
So Extraordinary's premise is described as about feeling lost and messy in your 20s and comparing yourself to other successes, with Jen being painfully self-aware. Where'd that come from?
I always wanted to write a classic flatshare sitcom, but when I tried to write the standard one, it was always like there was something missing. I'd seen it before. There was nothing special about it. Then when I was trying to write this, it felt like pop culture was getting inundated with the superhero genre, and this is a very loving pastiche of it. I do like those movies, but I just felt like, oh God, these people are just great. Why are they good at everything?
Is there anything you like took from your directly from your own life?
It's more inspiration from the feeling. Okay, I've probably talked to some woman that's been like ludicrously beautiful and she's said she's not worn makeup. And I guess when I was writing it, I really did feel the way that Jen does in the show. I don't feel that anymore, or I still do a little bit. When everyone around you is kind of becoming an adult and getting engaged or getting a good job and knowing what career they want, and you're kind of lost and feel like, what do I have to offer? And not really finding anything. That's a horrible feeling. I think the point of the show is understanding that you don't owe anyone, that you don't have to have anything to offer, that you're just okay and that's fine. You've got your friends, your family, just have fun. You don't have to be the best at things.
So you've said you very much relate to being directionless while seeing others like hit those life milestones. But do you feel like now, like, oh, like this is what I'm meant to do?
Yeah, and it's interesting because you can check off one box, then like three more boxes appear, you know? Oh, great, the career's going good. I'm lucky that I found the thing I want to do and I'm good at it, but oh, it would be nice to have a partner or something and have a haircut. We deal with that in the show. You're never satisfied, so don't beat yourself up. There's always going to be a new thing you're upset about.
Like that is actually like a really good interview, and I kind of want to read more about it. You said there were spoilers or were not in this one?
This one wasn't spoilery. Okay.
I
kind of
want to hear more from Emma.
Yeah, she's a stand-up comedian as a writer.
That makes sense.
And she's clearly got like a funny, witty sensibility. And I am really excited because I had never heard of her before this. And I'm always looking for new comedians to follow and I love it when they seem to be smarter and funnier than I am. It's good.
I found a lot of people who are smarter and funnier than I am. And I'm okay with that. Like, I don't have to have something to offer. Fuck them. Not fuck them, but you know. Yeah. Like you know what I mean.
Well, you don't have to be the best at things.
Fact. And I'm not. Excellent.
Meeting the bar. You're right on track.
Yes. All right. So we don't really have any feedback because this was almost like a very last minute thing. I do want to credit Steve Barr for bringing this to at least my attention. And then I was like, hey, Penny, this seems kind of cool. And then I watched the trailer. I was like, holy shit, this looks awesome.
Yeah. When you mentioned it to me, I had not heard of it at all. And then, you know, I did a little Google and I was like, wait, there's like 9 shows called Extraordinary something. And then I found this one. And yeah, the trailer is really good.
I'm
excited about it. And then when I watched the first episode, I was like, oh, thank you, Greg, for asking me to do this with you. It's so great.
This is going to be so much fun.
I love it.
All right. So just as I said it before, but I'll say it again. Tell your friends, tell people who you think might be into this about this show. I'll be honest. I don't really care about listenership. Is that what it's called? Listenership? Something like that. I don't really care about people listening to it, but like watch the show because tell people to watch the show because it's fucking funny as shit. And
yeah,
it's heartfelt and it seems like, except for like the fact that everybody has superpowers or powers, it seems like it could be, it's real. It's kind of sort of based in reality. Very, very grounded. Like, very, it's almost like what Jason was talking about. Has talked about in the past. We're like, hey, there's one thing that is different. Everybody has a superpower. But other than that, the world's just as shitty as it is. And, you know, some people get lucky and some people don't. Some people don't get that orgasm when all they had to do was reach out and touch a dude's face.
It sucks when a cat gets your orgasm.
Sometimes when the cat gets it. You know, like, please tell people about the show because it is so much fun to watch so far. I get it. We're only an episode in. And hopefully we feel the same after like 9 more of these.
You know, I'm watching episode 2 like 5 minutes after we stop recording.
Oh, 100%. Like that's where I've got an appointment with my TV here in a few minutes. Although Hulu and their fucking ads.
Yeah.
Not that Hulu's bad. Just saying, you gotta upgrade. It's like $3. Why would I do that? Anyway. Okay. All right. You have anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you want to get in touch, you know, send us feedback or ask a question or find out more about Podcastica, everything is available at podcastica.com.
Yeah, you can write in or record a message right there on podcastica.com. Or you can find links to social media pages and other shows. And we're going to put up a Facebook post just so that you guys can make comments or what the fuck ever. Hell, just curse. You could just put in a nice fuck or bollocks or, you know, curse in different languages and we'll read it on the podcast. It's cool with me.
Or suggest some other names for the cat. I would really like to hear what.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. That should be your question of the week, Penny. What else would you name a cum bucket? besides Jizz Lord or cum bucket. All right. NSFW, people. I mean, it's a little bit late, but NSFW. Yeah.
When you're on podcastica.com, you can, you know, check out our other shows. There's so much variety now that Podcastica is covering that I bet there's something on there that everybody would like. We've got drama, we've got sci-fi, we've got mysteries, we've got comedies, we've got The Last of Us, which is the darkest thing I've seen in a long time. And the podcasts are really a lot of fun.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, Last of Us is amazing. We also have a new movie podcast, That's Showtime, folks. Penny, I believe you've been on for a couple of times.
Yeah.
And
we did a really great Christmas episode for that one. We did
Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Which I actually watched the movie because I listened to at least a portion of y'all's podcast.
Awesome.
I'd never seen any of the Miracle on 34th Streets, and so I watched like the original. To be fair, I watched most of the original and then kids got in the way or I got tired or something else. You guys are covering, you and Jade are covering Poker Face, right?
Yeah, we are. That, also dropped this week and, they dropped 4 episodes and then it's going to go week to week after that. So we're going to cover the first 4 episodes in batches of 2. We're going to do 2 and 2, and then it'll be week to week after. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
No, that's it. That's just the way that it is.
If you like what we do, hit like, follow, and subscribe, or leave us a review and a rating. It helps other listeners find us when they search for a podcast about a particular show. It pushes us up in the list so that more people will start listening to our podcast.
Yeah. I don't know how many other podcasts start with extraordinary or have extraordinary in the name, but hopefully ours does. And just as a disclaimer, I mean, unless we get really, really lucky, we will not actually be interviewing any of the cast of Extraordinary. This is just the Extraordinary cast, like podcast.
So, yeah, podcast.
Just to clear that up, you know. All right. Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening. I don't know what we're going to say now.
Yeah. Do you have any good ideas?
No. I comment on other people's shit. I don't come up with my own. Like, what are you talking about? Or I just leave all this in, and then that's just it, the way it is.
I mean, it is a very reality-based show.
Whatever, fuck it. It's done now, right?
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.